the sing, choirs of angels sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Okay, I'll just check 1, 2, 3, check, check, 1, 2, 3, that sounds good, check, check, plenty of seating up front, come on, check 1, 2, I think that sounds good, I can hear you, can you hear? Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to Hope on the Beach, and a very Merry Christmas Eve to all of you. It is great to have you guys. Yes, it is so great to have you guys here with us. We're very excited for you to join us on Christmas Eve. And we want you guys to know that when you come to Hope on the Beach Church, you've entered our no judgment space, okay? This means be you, do you, no matter how you might be feeling. If you're having a great day, that's awesome. A not so great day, we're here from you. You're in the house of the Lord, and that's the best place to be. Amen? All right, and also if you're here with us visiting for the first time, like if you've never joined a Hope service before, we're very glad God put it in your heart on Christmas Eve to come out here and be with us here on the beach as we worship God. And so we would just love to get a chance to get to know you. If you could pull out your connection card, it's inside of your worship folder. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from. Are you visiting here with family? If you have any special requests, you can write those on the back side. We believe you're a gift from God. He brought you here today for a reason, and we want to honor that reason. By the way, if we did not have enough of the worship folders and you didn't get one, you can take your smartphone and you can go to the homepage of hopeonthebeach.com, and you can see right there, there's an icon for the bulletin for today's message. And that way you can follow along with today's notes. And also, we want to give a special welcome to those of you who may be watching online, wherever you are. Merry Christmas Eve to you, too. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, if you don't mind, give us a like or love. Go down in the comments. Tell us where you're watching from, because we'd love to hear from everybody. And also, if you can click share, you're going to help spread the gospel with just that one gesture. All right, you guys. So we are in our Christmas, the Gifts of Christmas sermon series this month. And on this Christmas Eve, our senior pastor, Jason Sheeler, is sharing a message on the gift of salvation. But before we get started, let's bow our heads and pray over today's message. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the relationship that we are privileged to have with you. It was made possible by what your precious Son endeavored to accomplish, paying the price for our sins to redeem and reconcile us, a price that we could never pay on our own. You made the impossible possible. We're overjoyed, Lord, that we do not have to live under condemnation anymore, and that you have truly set us free. May our actions and our attitudes and our lives be rooted in your love and surrounded by your grace, sharing the good news of the gift of eternity that we have with you. In the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all pray, amen. And I believe we have a call to worship, yes? If you look inside of your worship folder and flip open the first page under welcome, you're gonna see our call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. All right, let's rise and raise our voices to the Lord. We've got Sam here to lead us in our worship. The nations prove
The stars are brightly shining. It is the light of our dear Savior's birth. Only the world in sin and error pining till
Lord, makes that night divine as you. You made it holy, you separated apart, and it made this holiday a holy day that we set apart for good reason, because you are here. You have come, you have saved the world, and you offer that gift here today again. So Lord, send your spirit to us, to open our hearts, our minds, to receive such gift, that this gift may dwell with us and be used by us now and everlasting. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, Merry Christmas. You may be seated. I invite you, if you want to open up your worship folder, follow along today's outline. Also, if you don't have a worship folder, you can go to hopeonthebeach.com and just scroll down. You'll see a button there that says Christmas Eve worship folder, and you can follow along there. As she said, Rachel said, we have been in a series called The Gifts of Christmas, and we looked at the gift of peace, the gift of hope, the gift of joy, the gift of love. And today we're going to talk about this gift of salvation. You know, as a child at Christmas, it was all about the gifts, right? Can we get an amen? I mean, we love to get gifts, and the more, the better. And, I made a list, and, we had that list submitted in writing very early, and it was great anticipation to see if those things on that list would actually come true and happen. And this was tough, because my mom started Christmas shopping early. I mean, January early. So you had to get ahead of her here, because what she'd do is she'd get these gifts and she would just wrap them up, put no names on them, and she'd put them in a corner in the basement. And you would see them in these boxes, and it was just like torment. Should we guess them? And we would, what package was whose and what? And we really never knew, because she'd like missized packages and all these different things. But we did know this. We know that we were definitely going to get a certain gift. Every single Christmas, we were going to get this gift. Now, it's not a gift that any of us would really put on our list. It certainly wasn't a gift that you want to open up around others. But it's a gift that my mom says you always need. Anybody want to guess what that gift was?
Underwear.
Wow, you're that mom too, right? Yeah, underwear. Oh, you get that box. Oh, yeah, thanks, Mom. Throw the next thing, right? And maybe you had this rationale. My mom said, you always need to have clean underwear because you never know. You never know when that accident might happen and you'll be in the ER and you don't want to come up with dirty, holy underwear. And maybe for you, it was socks or pajamas. Lucky you. But we say, like, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the best gift, but often or not, Jesus compared to other gifts, I think, is like underwear. It's a gift you need, especially when there's an accident, and yet we really have our heart set on something else. Christmas is this snapshot of God's gift to Jesus that keeps on giving and does more than saving you from embarrassment in an emergency room. It actually saves you and continues to save you. And so let's look to God's word together and receive this wonderful gift of Jesus. That's recorded by Luke. And it's in the New Living Translation, just so maybe we can hear it with fresh ears again. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Because there was no lodging available for him that night, they were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Some observations. A, the gift of Jesus saves. The angels say, this is the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The angels announce a Savior. Now, the word Savior was actually a common word used in the Roman Empire, those who would rule over you and help you in the world. And so that word was known, but now this word has even greater meaning when it's attached to Jesus the Messiah. Yes, this is a Savior, and I know that you want some kind of earthly deliverance. You want freedom. You want political freedom. You want something, liberation that transcends you from this Roman Empire. But what he's saying, no, there's a greater Savior that is both earthly and divine. Emphasizing that Jesus is both God and man. This is God in the flesh who comes to dwell among us. that he is the divine nature, the Messiah, this title of the one who's been promised to come and save us, the one that we've been waiting for, to come and free his people in a freedom that will deliver humanity from their sin and condemnation. And the proof of such a claim is not just in the angels, but is that it's born this day. This gift is here today in your presence in the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem stands for the town of bread. Jesus comes as the bread of life. This manna from heaven to us of the Old Testament that has been promised is now here in the city of David, the one who's now linked to David, the promised one, that is this another king would come after David, and this king, this emperor, this kingdom would rule and reign and be brought to the world. He's fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy given by in Micah 5:2. And this is great. And the angels say, look, this is for unto us this day is born. For unto you this announcement is given to some ordinary shepherds, these outcasts, low-class people. It's symbolic. It's a representation of the gift. It's for all humanity. It means for you and I. And yet, we know this. We've probably heard this. And yet the struggle right now is that we are often wanting something else that's more practical and that's more pressing. And perhaps we're longing for some kind of healing or relief for some suffering or pain. Or maybe it's the college tuition bills, it's the credit card bills that, man, we could just get some money and get this debt and have some relief. Or if we could get this deal, we could make this business deal, or we could get to this next level in our life, and we could finally get that house, or maybe we're behind that house, behind that car, and we're looking at another house, or we get to retirement, and we get to some level, we would finally find some kind of relief and peace and more joy in life. Or God, if you could just give me that person I've been wanting, longing for, and lonely, like salvation sounds wonderful, but right now there's these other things that just seem more practical and pressing, and maybe it's that next toy I've been thinking about. There was a pastor who was teaching a group, and as he was teaching about the Savior, the one who's come to die, this stranger came up and he said, I think instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, you'd be far better off to teach Jesus as a teacher and an example. And the pastor replied, if I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him? And the stranger did not even hesitate. He said, absolutely, I would follow him with all my heart. And the preacher said, all right, let's take a first step. And the first step is, Jesus did not sin. Can you claim that for yourself? And the man looked confused and somewhat surprised. Why, no, he said, I acknowledge I do sin. And the pastor replied, then your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example. Your greatest need is to have a Savior, not a healer, not a money machine, not a genie that makes your wishes come true. You get the best college, the best job, this or that, or you can become rich, but a Savior from your sins. Matthew records, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He'll save us from our sins. That's salvation. Salvation means that we are delivered from harm, delivered from danger and destruction, delivered in Jesus from death, eternal separation from God, which we deserve. It's the consequences of our sin. For our sin is the inability to follow God, to obey him, who is holy and perfect, and live up to his laws. It's an arch return. It says, like, we missed the mark. We should be hitting here, and we hit over here. God calls us to follow him, and yet we say, no, God, I think I know my way is better. I'd rather do this right now. I maybe we'll get around to that. Or we actually get to the point, God, I don't even want anything with you. I mean, I'm glad you love me, but I got my life. I got my needs here. And perhaps that's not your whole life, but that's a part of your life that you keep holding back from God. So what does God do? Even in the face of rejection, in the face of our stiff-arming him, of being off the mark, Titus reminds us, when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, because of his mercy. God saved us through his Son. Not because of all good things you are. You're just a great person, or you're going to do good, or you've done well, or you're able to earn it, or you're worthy of it. No. Titus is reminding us that God has saved us. He has brought salvation. He has delivered us from our sins because God saved us because that's who God is. Letter B, God saved us because of who he is. God is that love. God is that mercy. God is that kindness. It's out of who he is that he brings this gift, not us. And God is, number one, is mercy. There's a guy who walks the beach every morning. He walks the beach because every morning there's these starfish that get washed up with the incoming tide, and they get pushed up onto the beach, and the tide goes out, and they're left stranded there. And they're up on the beach without any water. They're helpless, exposed to the sun, the wildlife that come and seek and destroy them. And they have no ability to get back into the water. And left there, they surely will die. And so he walks the beach, and he saves the starfish. One by one, he throws them back into the water. Why? He has mercy on them. He has pity on their situation and is moved in mercy. He could have just said, well, you know, you're going to die sometime. He could have just said, well, it's your fault. He could have said, man, starfish, don't you just know better? I mean, the tides come all pretty regularly. You should just grab hold and realize what's going to happen. I mean, you got yourself in this situation. But no, he has mercy. He saves them from what they deserve. And that is us. God saves us from what we deserve, from us in our helpless state, unable to save ourselves because we are dead in our sins. We have inherited sins. We are just bound by this sinful nature on our own, and we can't save ourselves. But God has mercy on us. Luke writes, he shows mercy from generation to generation. All who fear him, he gives them mercy. It's endless mercy that punishment for our sins has been removed for us. God's a God of mercy. God's a God of, number two, love. Love. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. I went to a parochial junior high, senior high school that was all together. And so in seventh grade, this one boy had this crush on a girl. I mean, he crushed, he fell hard. And he would write love notes to her all the time. And even when she had a boyfriend, he'd be right, I'll be waiting for you. It was sick. I think he made Hallmark anyway. Right? But it was just love and gifts. And he kept asking her out. And this went on for year after year after year. He just kept showing and giving her stuffed animals and candy and all these things. And you'd think when he was a senior, after 5.5 years of rejection, like he would stop. But no, he just takes it to another level, senior prom. He's going to get a limo. He's got fancy reservations at a dinner. He's got this huge collection of animals and candies and balloons and flowers, and it sets this whole scene up to surprise her. And he even gets the choir to sing as he asks her to prom. And she said no. And the last time I checked on classmates.com, he still loves her. I don't know anyone who would stand that much rejection. and keep loving. I mean, you say this is so foolish. She's not worth it. Move on. And this is a glimpse of the love that a father has for us. I mean, God called Moses to go and be his voice to rescue his people, the Hebrews, from the strongest nation, Egyptians, in the world. They were slaves. They had nothing. No power, no influence, no value. It's the least of the least. And why did that? Because God's a God of love, and he wanted to show his love. It's never based on your place. It's based on him. And so he loved them, and he delivered them from the ruling power of slavery over their lives. And he freed them, and he blessed them, and he provided for them, and he brought them to a promised land, and he made them a great nation, and he poured out his favor. He poured out his provisions. This was a land of abundance. This was a land of prosperity. He had his presence there and his protection. And even after doing all that for them, they continued to turn back and say, oh, man, I wish we were in slavery. I wish this we were back in our old days. I wish we'd do it our way. And they continued to reject him over and over again. I mean, God's purpose was like, man, I want to show my love and lavish it on these people, foolishly pour it out there of my favor so all nations, all people would know of my love. And yet they reject it. And it gets to the point, even in the Old Testament, where God sends the prophet Hosea. And Hosea, God calls Hosea to marry a woman named Gomer. If that's not bad enough, her name's Gomer, but that she was a prostitute. Not was, is, practicing in public, all known, exposed. And yet Hosea remained faithful to her and loved her. God was communicating through their marriage that the bride, his church, even though she's unfaithful and she's running to all different gods and all different things and rejecting him, God is loving, he is faithful, he's long-suffering, he's enduring. His love never ends, and he continues to love. Why? Because he's continued to show his love to draw us to him. He's not forcing us. He's trying to win our hearts over by proving his love and the love again, over and over again. God doesn't stop. He doesn't force it. He doesn't say, I'll just love you when you're worthy of it, when you get your act together. No, he demonstrates his love over and over again to us. And this is why that passage becomes so important in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. He loved. And he gave his one and only Son. And God gave and revealed his love through his Son. He gave his best. He didn't hold anything back. And yet, what did the people do and what we do today? We reject it. We attack it. We even crucify it for something else. But God went to the cross and he suffered to show his love, to save us, to draw us to him, that you would believe and love him back. God is mercy, God is love, and God is kind. Number three, kind. In Ruth, it says, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. The story of Ruth is a great story of death, desperation, and dedication. All Naomi's sons are dead, and Ruth was married to one of those sons who's passed away. Naomi has nothing else to give her. There's no other sons, and she doesn't have any money to provide for her. Naomi is in Ruth's land, a foreign land. And Naomi says, I'm going to go back to my country, and my people will take care of me. And you, Ruth, are young. You should move on and have your life and get married. This is your people. This is your nation. And Ruth says, no, I will stay with you. And so she goes with Naomi back to Judea, back to the Jewish community, Israelites. divided kingdom time, and here she is. And in God's kindness, we see God's kindness already because they are poor. But the Jews had a thing that they didn't harvest all the crops. They left crops in the land. And it was there to provide for the poor so they could glean the fields from what's left over. And so Ruth is gleaning the fields. And in that time, she catches the eye of Boaz, who's the owner. And then through Boaz, God brings provision and care and delivers them. He shows his kindness to secure them. Kindness. Kindness makes someone else's day easier or better. God's kindness in Christ not just makes our day, it makes our life, our here, our eternity easier and better because the kindness of Christ, that in his kindness has secured our salvation. It's not we work, it's a gift. And the salvation he gives to us, and he gives us to bring life. See, we put this love and mercy and kindness, and we intertwine them. We put this big word on it about God's grace. This is the grace of God on our lives. And this grace of God, see, empowers by the Holy Spirit, changes our lives. It saves us even in our daily decisions in life. See, I was excited to go away to college, and perhaps part of that excitement to go away to college was, yeah, to be on my own away from my parents and to go to that college experience. But part of that excitement really was I really wanted a new start, a fresh start. Like I said, I've been with these people at my school for over 6 years, and I was like, man, I'd like to have a newer beginning. And so I settled in at college at soccer camp and then got into college life as we got into the semester. And about after a month or so, I became painfully aware that while the location was halfway across the country from my home, I was still the same. I mean, how many people come to the beach, vacation, or move here, and like, man, I need a fresh start. I need to be refreshed, renewed, and I need to get away from my life, my routine, and have a new start, feel some renewal, get some energy back. And yet, they get here, and it's just still the same life again. Because where you are is where you are. Changing location doesn't change you. It's only God that does. Titus 3:5 says, he washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. The gift of salvation, it forgives. It gives new starts. It gives renewal. It takes the old away and brings in new. There's new birth, new life, new starts. The power over sin, the power that sin has over our life is no longer has power. We're no longer defined by our past. We're not defined by our guilt or shame. He cleanses us and moves us, empowers us to a new life. With different choices and different desires. Now, some of you may be saying, that sounds good, but I've been in church and I believe, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. I don't see the results. I mean, I don't have the same value you have in church and faith because I don't see the difference it makes in my life. Well, if you could visualize a person next to me right now who's been working out in the gym, maybe one of our lifeguards you see down here who's all toned and tight and everything else like that, in great shape, right? And then there's me, dad bod here, right? And you would notice there's quite a difference here in our muscles and our strength. And you might say, well, what's the difference? Like, I work out, but so what's the real difference, though? Then my workout in their workout. Well, the difference is that in my lifestyle, I tend to use the gym to rationalize my choices that I've made. See, the gym doesn't define my choices. For this person, their gym defines their choices. It's not their gym defines how they live outside of the gym. See, your faith, your church needs to define your life and your choices, not just be used occasionally to excuse your life and your choices. This is why you don't have the results and don't have life change. See, we can't bear fruit on our own. We can't have this life changes, the life that we are longing, know that God is calling us to be free from the things that we are trapped in and keep repeating with a little here and a little there and a lot of the us and a lot of the world. I mean, Jesus said in Luke 15, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. But notice, he is the vine. He is the source of what empowers us, which gives us new life, which gives us forgiveness, which cleanses us, which grows us, which strengthens us. He is the source. And if we're going to have that new life, this gift of salvation at work in our life, then we have to be remaining, connecting to the vine and Jesus. We have to be in his word, in his church, in his community, and mission in order for him, God, to shape our lives, not us or the world. See, often people are blaming the gift. Ah, the gift is bad. The gift doesn't work. It's just a crutch for you. You just brought up into it. You don't need that. It's not the gift is bad. It's how you use the gift is wrong. See, God's gift is limitless. D, God's gift is limitless. He generously pours out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is generously pouring out the Spirit that we need for life change. God is not holding back, saying, get your act in order, then I'll give you my grace. He's giving you the grace to have a life in order, to have life change. He generously pours out, not limitations. See, the limitations is how much room we have to hold it. Because some of you, he's pouring out and you just got a teacup. Like, I just need a little Jesus. That's nice. It's nice and sweet that way. Some of you, maybe you got a mason jar, man. You try to capture it and save it. But it ends up on the shelf. Some of you got a bucket, man. You just like load up on Jesus, but you got some holes and drains, but you just keep, you know, trying to load up on Jesus here, and then you go as far as you can, and then you kind of wear out, and then you come back. See, the limitation is what kind of container you have, because God is pouring out. And it's not just a container. Most likely, it's what's lid on it. God is pouring out, but sometimes we're not even trying to fill up, because we got a lid on our container. Like, God, I think I'll hold you. Hold back. I think I got this. I know what I really want or need. I know what how I should really do life. I got my plans. See, the fact that he's generously pouring out means we're not just to be filled up. We're actually be people that are overflowing. Jesus came and he gave life in abundance. His abundance is overflowing. It's more than we contain. It should be overflowing on us, through us, to others, that others would see that in us, that there's something different in us. See, it really means that the real issue is that we are our own worst enemy. Our resistance, our choices that resist at the Holy Spirit that tugs and calls us and is trying to draw us to him, but we quiet that voice, we shut it out, we put a lid over it so we don't get pulled into that because we like our ways. Or we're afraid of the change, to lose control, to actually surrender. And we wonder, is it really going to be worth it? See, the short-term pleasures and comfort are stealing our long-term joy and strength. And here Scripture reminds us, like, here's what's being poured out. In Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law, there's no limit. God is pouring these out. He gives them all through the Holy Spirit, which you receive in his word when he shares it with you. And so the question it is, what you're doing now leading to a life more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, agenda, self-control? Is it leading that way? That even when you're getting trials and life pushes in, this is the stuff that comes out of your life, or does something else come out of your life? See, the evidence to get to salvation takes on two forms. E, Jesus saves us from and saves us to. To be saved is to be saved from something and then brought to something else. And so, number one, Jesus saves us from sin, death, damnation, and the devil's power over us. I mean, that's the consequences of our sin. That's what sin does, and that gives a foothold for the devil. And he's taken us out of that darkness, and he like leads us and takes us to light. He takes us out of ourself and leads us to this love and peace and kindness, this all these things that the Spirit he talks about. This is God's salvation is not some just life insurance policy. It's something that's a gift for every single day. Because you got to realize, Satan does not take a day off. He has no holidays. And his goal is to distract you, to destroy you, and kill you eternally. And he does that by getting in your head with lies. By getting into your heart and hold guilt and shame. You're not good enough. You know, if everybody knew your unlovable places, and God knows he can't love you because that. Man, if you really want to do something, God can't help you. You got to help yourself. Oh, you need this to be happy. If life would get here, then it would be good. Then you really have what you want. You'll really be happy. I mean, it's all about your happiness. So live for your happiness. That's what he tells us. Just keep pursuing whatever makes you happy. If it's a toy, it's a boy, whatever, pursue. I mean, from time to time, we all get sucked into that. I'll never forget, we were car shopping, and we had been in a heavy season of life. I mean, just way too much work, way too much business in a home. We had another child, and so that was like intense, and then work was intense, and then we needed a car, and you know, car shopping can be painful, right? And so we're just getting drained out, and we thought we liked just one car, and we're like, let's go to another place and look at this other car. And so I take that car to the other dealership thinking, man, I'm gonna get this, right? And we loved the other car, we thought, and like, man, so we're looking at it, negotiating, and the sales guy, I'll never forget, he just looked at it and he says, yeah, you work hard, don't you? I said, absolutely, I work really hard. And he said, yep, you do. And so you deserve this car. Boy, you could almost put the pen in my hand at that point. Right? I deserve this. This car is going to make me happy. It's going to take care of stuff. It's going to save us from all this pain and stuff. I mean, I just fed right in. Why? Because I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I was walking in my flesh and pain. I was walking in my pride. I was walking my selfishness, saying, man, I deserve this. And I wasn't even thinking about anything else. And we bought it. And like a month later, man, we're like, what did we do? How did we get? See, God is saving us even in the little daily decisions from things that like our flesh is, oh, this is what you want. This is on our mind. And if I could just get this, get that, get that. You know what? And God's like, you know what? I got something greater for you. But we're so consumed by what we think we need and deserve and have, we miss out on what we really need. And God is trying to save us from even these little decisions like this in our lives. See, Christmas is also that reminder that in your darkest day, when you mess up, Roy, you lost something. You did, but you got bad news. How financial? You lost your job. And Christmas reveals that God is a God who saves. The God who's there in the midst of the darkness, who stepped down into the darkness, in the midst of our mess and chaos. And yet in all of this stuff, in brokenness and hurt and pain, you're not alone. He's there and he's promising. And he's saving. He's going to work good for those who love them according to his purpose. I mean, Mary and Joseph did not have the ideal start of life in their marriage. They were romantic, and then God intervened with a different plan. They had this wedding planned out, this whole future, and God steps in, and it all explodes. They get a divorce, they're separated, and God has to bring them back. And then even in their journey to start a life, they got to make this whole journey on a donkey, and there's no room, and now they're in a stable to have their child. Not her plan A. Probably not plan B. But it was God's plan. And Mary said, oh, treasure these things in her heart. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else but in God's plan. And God's work, because it's good. It's better than whatever I think. This is truly what we need. And he saves us again, over and over again. See, he saves us to two, an inheritance, a confidence, eternal life, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of his grace, he's made us right in the sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Christmas is this gift of God's confidence. That's what faith is, confidence that what's not seen is true. And that the words of God are true. And they're living words that give life. And God's words give life and lead us to abundant life in him. That's a greater life than ever else. And that even when there's trials and tribulations, we can have an inner strength. We can have a joy. We can have a peace. We can be filled with hope. When it doesn't look very hopeful. Because in that midst, we know that God is working his good. And there's a purpose. That this is not meaningless, and we are valued as his children. I remember verse Psalm 86:5. Let's read it together. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Christmas, the gift of salvation, is here now. It's calling you. The question is, do you have your phone on? Or do you have the number blocked? Are you just declining it? Not answering? Or are you just sending a voicemail saying, maybe I'll just get to it later. I got my own things now. Well, maybe this Christmas. Maybe this Christmas you answer to the one who saves. You say, hey, Jesus, hello. Yes. Yes, I believe you are the Lord and Savior. And I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life too. He's calling. What's your reply? What's your reply to the great gift of salvation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just know in my own life, man, it's easy to get sucked and distracted and move in different directions and think that something else will save us when it's you. It's only you. And so, God, I thank you for calling us to try to draw us and invite us into this life with you, that we would follow, that we would surrender and put down our ways and put down our thoughts and say, God, your ways are above our ways. God, we just surrender. We give into you. I mean, how can we not? Your love is so profound that you came and took on flesh when you create it. You left heaven where there's no suffering to take on suffering for us. Not just a suffering of a whole life on this earth of pain and tribulation. And yours was magnified as you went to the cross. And you died and separated from the Father. So we would not be separated. We'd be brought with the Father. And that your prayer, that just as you and the Father are one, we could be one with him and walk in that oneness in the Holy Spirit. God. So maybe you've been hearing that voice inside or that feeling. The Holy Spirit saying, answer. I want to invite you, if you've never done that, to answer today. Answer. Just say yes. Say thanks for the gift. And maybe you have answered, but man, God, we just got a lid on it. God, remove the lid. Blow us up. Say yes to it again. God, renew us that we open up our lives to your salvation, to truly lead us in our decision. Let your Spirit empower us to be your children that you called us to be. And so as your children, Lord, we pray the prayer you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hey. Make sure you mention the prayer
time. Okay. The incredible sacrifice that Jesus made gave us freedom and forever life. This gives us an attitude of humility and thankful acceptance. It draws us beyond the definition of ourselves, because we could never have made this possible on our own. Everything that surrounds us was drawn and created by his hands. And for this, we are grateful. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you would like to give today, you can place your offering inside of this envelope. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number and also online at hopeonthebeach.com, so that you can choose the best way. But through keeping this command, we show our Father that yes, we believe. Yes, we are faithful beyond our own desires, and yes, we are grateful. Amen? And on the back of the connection card that you filled out earlier, you're going to see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. If he has moved you today, maybe re-strengthened your faith, mark that box. If you want to be baptized, maybe perhaps right down here at the beach, you can check that box. And also, if you are in need of prayer, we have a prayer tent right there behind you. We would love for you to come and see us at our prayer tent. We have some ways for you to strengthen your personal life with Jesus by connecting with us here at Hope on the Beach. So if you take a look at the back of your worship folder, you're going to see our Hope happenings, what we have coming up. We have gatherings for our men. Every month we do a Men of Iron breakfast, which happens at our 98 campus location. Our ladies are going to be getting together on January the 13th. We're having our Women of Hope duffel bag packing event. And what this is we are packing duffel bags for children who are in foster care. And this is to give them some dignity. Often when they are moving, they have garbage bags to move their stuff. So we're going to try to bless them with duffel bags if you would like to join us for that event. And we also, our youth are on Wednesday night at 98 Campus. And I also just wanted to draw your attention to January the 14th. And I had a question for you guys. So where are you at right now in your journey? Is God calling you to a church home? Do you have a supportive Christian family? God's word says that we need that if we want to grow spiritually. And on January 14th, we are having our starting point. So if you want to come and learn what Hope on the Beach is all about and see what our vision is, please come and join us. We'll be having dinner for that as well. And at this time, if you would like to take your connection card and also your offering envelope, our ushers are going to come around with buckets and you can place them in there. We're going to continue our worship.
Thank you.
Jesus, Lord and Emperor. Jesus, Lord and Emperor.
May you guys receive this blessing as you go forth from here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God be blessed.